few weeks ago, I asked young people to give me some questions when they want some answer. So last week, I have a chance to answer 6, but I try to answer more today. Some questions are very interesting to me, so I think it's valuable for everyone to think about the questions. Now, one of the questions is like this. Okay. Is it on? It's coming. Okay. Why does science say the Earth was created millions of years ago? Actually, I think many, if you look, Google it, people say 45 billions of years ago, the universe was created. But we seem to believe everything the science telling us. But science has limitation, okay? Science basically is a systematic way, it's a method of what? To discover how the world works. Is it 100% correct? Not necessarily. What the science, the method, what does it look like? It's always by observing something, and then you ask questions. Hey, how does this thing behave itself? How does the moon, the sun comes up? When the apples fall to the ground, you say, what happened behind? You ask yourself many questions, and then you make hypotheses, some theory in your mind. Oh, what are the forces behind? And then you have some idea, then you test the idea, and you find, does the result works with you? The evidence support you. Now, let me put it in an example. If you look at my pen here, just focus on the pen, this second is here. 1 second later, it's here. So you observe, another second, it moves to here. So another second, you think, another second, it moves to here. So you observe and you make hypotheses. This pen is moving towards that direction every meter in a second. So you want to test your idea, so you test again. 3 more seconds. 1, 2, 3. So in 6 seconds, you test. My science works. This is the method to predict the movement of the pen. Then you may ask, when would this pen hit the wall? And you calculate the distance, maybe in 8 seconds, this pen is going to hit the wall. And you ask yourself, when does this pen start to move? Look back there. You say, maybe this pen, 20 seconds ago, was there. You see what I mean? So you observe this pen movement, you make a theory. You test it, it seems to work. Then you predict what happens 20 seconds ago. But actually, don't forget one thing. I'm holding the pen. I was sitting there just now. I did not come from there. So the science is the method of calculating. Right now, the scientists use different methods. Use isotopes, radioactive substance, measuring the age of the Earth, the age of the dinosaur, the age of the moon, the age of the sun. They use different methods to measure it, but this method has limitation. You just see the pen, but can you see me? I can interfere the result. I can stop the pen, I can drop the pen, I can take it backwards, isn't it? Scientists does not consider God in his calculation. Scientists based on what you see, a study of the natural world without God. But God is behind all things. You see? So limitation is scientists can only see what they see. Can you calculate God? Can you measure God? Can you tell me how tall he is? No, you can't see God. You can't calculate. You can only see this pen, maybe, but you may not see me. When you focus on the pen, But you can see me, of course, but God cannot be seen by your naked eyes. So God is behind silence. We can see the natural what's happening out there, but God is spirit. Everything supernatural we can't see. So you see the limitation of science? You think you know everything by seeing the pen movement? Then you know all the pen come from there. But actually it's not. Because I intervene the movement of the pen. Just like God can intervene the time. God intervention in natural world. Okay? So sometimes people say, oh, God's creation. It talks about God's created the world in 7 days. Is it true? Is it literal 24 hours? Or is that a long period? Because the science tells us, oh, it takes a long time. The Jurassic period, the dinosaurs. We think of the world as a long, long history. Maybe millions of years. But this is science telling us. But there are limitations. There are some assumptions in science which has limitation, okay? Which may not be the fact. So, is it 6 days? What the most reasonable evidence we can have is God told us. Because He's the Creator. In Exodus chapter 20, when Moses telling us again about the Ten Commandments, it mentioned in chapter 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So it's not 7 period, not 7 long time, but days. Okay? If you want to go deeper to study what the day means, you have to study the Bible, Hebrews word, and try to dig and find. But our only reliable resources is from God, not from science. Science has limitation, again. Okay, but God can intervene. What we think time always go forward cannot go backward. When we think time cannot stop, can you think of some reference in the Bible, God stopped the sun? In the book of Joshua, when the people are fighting against enemy, it happened. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people have revenge upon the enemies. Is this not written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. So in the history of time, there was a time that the sun stopped. Where was my pen? Okay. I was having a pen. Where is it? Okay. Yeah. So the pen seems to be going 1 second, then suddenly God can stop it. And not only stopping, but going backward. Can you recall anyone study Bible? When does the time go back? In Isaiah, King Hezekiah asked God, do we have a sign that what you say is true? So the prophets asked him, God is going to give you a sign. And what is the sign? I will bring the shadow on the sundial which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees. So I imagine is, if this is the sundial, the sun comes this way, this is the shadow. The shadow should go that way, become when the sun comes down, it goes longer. But suddenly the sun moves backward, so that instead of going that way, the shadow goes backward. So God can intervene time. Isn't that amazing? So God is giving us a message. Yes, He created the whole world, He set the rules, but He's not bound by the rules. Okay, so this is how great our God is. So science tells us, do you have egg first or chicken first? Can you tell me? Allison? Where does the egg come from?
Chicken. terms of chicken, where does the chicken come from?
So you see, this is a circular argument. But if you study Genesis, what does it tell you? In the beginning, God created many eggs. No. The sixth day, God created animals. So now we see chicken first. But God did not create many eggs. Who's going to hatch the eggs, isn't it? So by faith, we know. So this seems to be a difficult challenge because science cannot really solve the problem. But by faith, we know. And if you measure, if you see Adam today, the first, when God created Adam, he's not a baby. When Adam stood before you, he seems to be an adult. But actually, he was 1 day old. So, but you use scientific method to measure Adam's. Your method works in all humans except Adam and Eve. So you see, science has limitation. Science is not the truth. God has the truth. Okay, so next question. Which are shorter questions? One Christian asked, where is the best place for a new believer to start reading the Bible? For me, I start from Genesis. But some people, if they do not have any background, it may be easier for them to start with the Gospel, New Testament. And which Gospel, I think, is not that important as long as you start and keep on going. Okay? So maybe, if a person has no background, it's easier for them to know Jesus, the life of Jesus first. But if you have some, because I was studying in a Catholic school, I have some background already, I heard a lot of Bible stories. So I start from the beginning, from Genesis, all the way. Okay. Another question, how can I stop blaming God for the things that go wrong in my life? Something goes wrong, you fail in the test, you got sick, accidents happen, fires broke out in some places. How can I stop blaming God? Well, it's an awareness. It's a recognition that, throughout God's words, throughout Old Testament and New Testament, I read a lot of stories, I realized when bad things happen, God is behind. God has planned. God has a way to change bad things to bring out good things. Now, because I study the Bible, I realize God is wise. He has a purpose. He knows what He is doing. So bad things happen, I know, there must be some lesson for me to learn. So instead of blaming God for me, once I know He is trustworthy, I no longer doubt. But I will ask myself, what can I learn? What do you want me to learn? Instead of blaming God for everything, maybe I've done something wrong. I eat too much, that's why I got tummy ache. I can't blame God. Why do you make the food so delicious? No, it's you. You can't control. The problem is me, so I can't blame God for everything. This question, somebody asked, which animals can talk in the Bible? Of course, someone can give me one. The snake in the Garden of Eden, and another one. The donkey, the talking donkey in Book of Numbers. Yeah, these are the real animals. See, so many of you know the answer. Okay, when we share the gospel, should we continue until they believe? Let me ask you, why would you like to stop? When you first hear the gospel, you don't know much, so you may not be ready to accept it. But once you know more, and know more, and maybe God shows you are a sinner in your heart, and then one day, when the time comes, you will accept. By saying that, I don't mean you every day, you talk to him, you're a sinner, repent, you're a sinner, repent, you're a sinner, repent. Do not be like that. You will offend people. But be wise. Listen to them. Know their problem. Feel for them, love them. And then out of your love, when people realize you are not, you don't want to argue, but you really love their soul, they may open their ears to you. But if you keep repeating the same thing, people are bored and even get annoyed by your so-called message. Okay? So show people your love, your care. It's more than just giving them your message. Also, okay, so don't give up. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So in God's time, He will show us when it's ready. Another question. Does Adam have a belly button? I don't know. Is that important? There are so many questions in the Bible that we don't know. But God tells us what is important. It's interesting to think about, oh, he doesn't need a belly button. True, but God may put a belly button for him just to look nice like us. And I don't know the answer, actually. Maybe or not, maybe not so. There are so many questions we can ask. Now, these questions is a longer question, which may take a longer time to. It relates to all unmarried young people. Maybe you are still in high school today, but still you may got interest in these questions. How can you identify the other half, which means your the future husband or future wife God has given you? So we have an idea, other half, as if you are not complete your life until you find another and make yourself whole. So in our mind, as if I can find the other half, my life would be perfect, happy, joyful, complete. I think the husband and the wife now today can tell you, not really, my friend, not really. There are still many discouragement we can feel even in our marriage. So do not get the idea, once I find who, then I will be entered into perfect happiness. No, not true. When we think of finding another half, the partner, life partner, why do you need a life partner? Now, if I'm going to play badminton double, I know I need to find someone who can play badminton with me, because we are partner in the game. If I want to play table tennis double, I need to find maybe men's double or mixed double. I need to find a partner. Why? To enter the game. You see, it's not just a partner, but there is something before us. Not just accompanying you, but you got a partner for what? For a tennis tournament? For a table tennis competition? Why do you want a partner? The partner means spending your life together to become one. That is marriage. In other words, when you're thinking of who would be my partner, you're thinking, who should I marry? Isn't it? It means the union between a man and a woman, according to God's design, a man and a woman. So, not gay relationship. Okay? And their marriage includes vows of commitment. That means this man commit to this woman, that this woman commit to this man, supposed to be lifelong relationship. Supposed to be. You can't change partners. Why? Because you have to learn how to love your partner. But how come there are so many divorces nowadays? If you check on the divorce rate, when before the marriage, oh, my handsome prince, my prince charming, oh, my princess, you are the apple of my eye. Once they got married, oh, no longer. You are the sting in my eye. Okay? Why? Because when people, so many people get married, thinking of what? You will make me happy. You will make me happy. If I'm not happy, relationship breaks down. So many relationships ends in tragedy because we have the wrong concept. Just like playing double in the competition. Hey, what a player you are. You are no good. I changed my partner. As simple as that. But marriage is not playing a game. Marriage is commitment to a relationship. But now people just think of, if you, no commitment. If you make me happy today, we are together. But if you give me pain, if you let me suffer, goodbye. Why should I suffer anymore? Now, this is our concept. The marriage is for me, for my enjoyment, for fulfilling all my needs, for my happiness. This is the happiness in people's mind. So what about the Christian? The Christian mind should be different. Why do we have marriage? A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. God is telling us when God put men and women together, they become one. And they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. That means in God's heart, when there are problems, you can't separate. Separate does not mean you solve the problem. Self-separate is one method trying to solve the problem, but it is not solved. For example, if I'm a very selfish person, one day I realize my wife does not satisfy me, divorce. I married another person, another girl. And then I'm still the old me, I'm still very selfish. The second girl got sick of me, divorced me. I find the third wife, the fourth wife. It's not the matter of the woman, it's the matter of me. You see? I can change many partners, but the problem is not the partner. The problem is my selfishness. And also, I have to deal with the problem of my selfishness. It's not changing the partner. Dealing the problem inside, not blaming the people around me, not blaming my wife. How come you are not a better wife? Ask yourself, how come I'm not a better husband? So all these divorces because of you, it's your fault. If we realize marriage is a covenant, it's between a binding promise made before God. So God has joined together. So this is not two, but three in this relationship. God binds the two together. God changed you. God teach you how to be, put down your selfishness to be a better husband. God teach the wife, put down your selfishness to be a better wife. God is the mediator changing our lives. Because it's not just God setting up a man and a woman in a family. God wants to show the whole world what it means when Christ and the believers, the relationship. So you and your wife, you and your husband are
This loving relationship, forgiving each other, bearing each other, helping each other, this is a relationship showing the world. This is the right how God treated us. So when you're finding a partner, you are not playing table tennis, playing badminton, but this partner is you two tells the whole world how God loves people. Even though we are incomplete, we are sinful, and yet God still loves you and me. So your marriage is a symbol putting on earth to let the all creation, let the whole world see. Christian's marriage is different. Not solving problem by divorce, not selfish, not self-seeking, but sacrifice, but love. And by doing this, I learned, I changed. I may be a very selfish person in the beginning, but once I got married, I know, oh, my wife is sleeping. I can't make too much noise. Then I start to learn to constrain myself. This is love. Okay? So, actually, the real test of your love, you go into another level when you get married. Because before the marriage, oh, she's so perfect, I'd be so happy with her. But once you got married, oh, she's so imperfect, what's wrong with me? I must be blind. Like that. Right now you realize, now I learn to put down myself and love her no matter what. I accept his imperfection just like she accept me. Then your person change. You become a better husband or you become a better wife. Not demanding your spouse, but let God change you. So it's painful, but it helps you to be a better person. Let me put it this way. How can you choose, if you ask me, how can I pick my second, a better half? Just like you ask me, how can I get a car? What car should I pick? There are so many different kinds of cars. Should I pick a truck? Should I pick a sports car? Should I pick an EV, electric car? Or should I drive a trailer? You may, before you, as if, when I ask you, if you come to the sales room, the salesperson will come to you, what kind of car are you looking at? I may ask you, what kind of person are you looking at? Oh, 6 foot, handsome, rich. You have some idea in your mind, isn't it? Is it the right car for you? Do you want a sports car? You can't have everything. You want a sports car? You want a 6-7-seater? You want a truck? You want a van? What is in your mind? The salesperson may ask you. God will ask you. What are you looking for? What is the purpose for the car? Are you going to deliver food? Then why do you drive a Lamborghini? Why do you drive a Mercedes for delivering food? So what is the purpose? Ask yourself, what is the purpose? What is the goal in your heart? Do you know how to look after it? What about the maintenance cost? Can you not just having the car, you have to still constantly maintain the cost. Oh, I married a wife, okay. But you don't talk to your wife. You don't care about her. How do you feel today? You're crying, as if you didn't see. Don't tell me you're crying. You have to take care of her. Her emotional need. Maintenance cost. Do you possess the skill and the knowledge and have you practiced enough of the license required? 120 hours if you've got a new license. You need to practice. As if you know nothing and you entered into marriage. Oh, I love this guy. I married him. Have you taken any course telling you how to behave? How to be a better wife? A better husband?
You never learn. How dare you?
When you are an accountant, you only work for 8 hours. But when you are a husband, 24/7, my friend. 24/7.
It's challenging.
If you don't like accounting, you can change job, but you can't change your life. Do you have what you need to buy a car? Do you have the money to put the car? Do you have the parking space for the car? But yeah, you got the car. Where are you going to keep it? Put it on the road? Do you have money to buy a house for your wife? No, we share my bedroom with my parents. You are not ready. You don't know the cost. Save money now. So, the problem is, instead of finding who, but asking yourself, are you ready to be a husband? Do you have the maturity to enter marriage? Now let me put it frankly. If you are still in high school, I don't think you are ready. But my friends, they got a girlfriend or boyfriend. You know, in this world, they will say, oh, I got a boyfriend. That means somebody loves me. I'm wanted by someone. That means I'm precious. So I'm proud. I must be beautiful. I must be handsome. That's why the girls are after me. So all this early relationship means that you are immature. You need people loving you to find your value. If I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, I must be rejected. I must be ugly. Oh, no one loves me. I have a very bad image. If I worry about how people look at me, oh, my friend, they all got boyfriend. Oh no, I'm alone. You're scared because you feel you are insecure. If you out of insecurity, I better find someone. Okay, this guy, okay, all right. I don't like him at all, but for the time being, I keep him as my boyfriend, even though you don't love him. One day you realize he's not good enough, you change to another boyfriend. This is immaturity. A mature person would not be like that. Are your body and mind still in the developing stage? At this time, when you are in high school, focus in learning. Equip yourself. Learn your English. Learn your mathematics. Learn. And so that when you one day, you grow up, you can support yourself, at least. If you can't support yourself, where are you going to have your family? Now, talking about this, remember, many jobs will be replaced by robot AI very soon. Food delivery, maybe. Oh, I can be delivering, picking dishes to the table. Maybe the robot will do the job for you. So if you don't make yourself have some value, know something, a skill that you can support yourself, you better think what you should study. A few years ago, a sister studying translation, before she got graduated, she realized all the job AI can do better than her. So she now changed to study at something else. But wasting two years in her life because replaced by AI. So think about now, make yourself irreplaceable, hopefully. Okay. So develop your body. Don't always thinking about, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. Please, don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Think about all these romantic dreams. Get ready your mind and your body to develop at this stage.
IQ, your intelligence, learn your English so that we can communicate better. I realize I should have better English. If I know I will preach one day, I always have grammar mistake, and I have to ask Uncle Neil to correct my grammar. EQ, sometimes people have emotional quotient. They can't read other mind. They can't show empathy to other people. If you don't learn how to care about the other's feeling, you have a low EQ. How can you care about your husband or your wife or your children? Learn how to care today. Care for your friends. AQ, adversity quotient. Sometimes people say, when you're facing difficulty, you failed in the test. You commit suicide. Oh, I can't face failure. You failed one subject, oh, kill yourself. Oh, somebody rejected you, oh, I kill myself. You can't stand adverse condition. You can't stand rejection. You're always in fear. That's not mature. As we grow up, we face lots of difficulty, challenges, we fail. And yet we stand and rise again. We have to learn how to cope with difficult situation. SQ, I made it. I'm sure you may not have heard about it. Spiritual quotient. How's your relationship with God? He is your helper. If you don't never talk to Him, you don't know much about Him, how can He help you, show you the way? Do you fear God? All this you should learn today. If you want to be a doctor, you learn biology, you learn mathematics, you learn all this. If you want to get married, get yourself ready, learn all this. There's a long list. Have you learned self-discipline? You can't get up in the morning. How can you get up to cook dinner for cook breakfast for your children or your husband? If you don't have patience, your kids come bothering you. Dad, 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 shut up. Patience, kindness. Patience, patience. I can't stand it. No kindness. You see, you are holding your anger. Can you sacrifice? I remember when the kids, when my girl was baby, at night, baby cried, my wife, wake up, go and comfort the baby. No, you have to sacrifice. Sacrifice your sleep, sacrifice your time to play with your children. Sacrifice. You learn this now, not until you become a husband. Are you emotionally secure? Today I'm so happy, I cooked dinner. And then at work, somebody scold you. No mood, cook your own dinner. Cook your own food. Anxiety, worries, driven by love or fear. If I don't do this, you get angry with me. Then I fear you do this to please others, but you are not doing this for love of that person. We should grow in love, do all things in love. But so often we are doing it in fear. If I don't do this, I'll be blamed. They'll get angry with me. So we are living in fear, not living in love. Are you always selfish? I like this, always your choice. Everybody has to listen to you. Always self-centered. Have you ever listened to some people always blaming others? Oh, that girl, oh no, that person, that man, that boy is disgusting. Oh, he's so selfish. Always complaining. Do you think when husband comes home, the wife starts to blaming the child, the first child, second child, third child, everything, and then blaming the husband? Do you think it will be a happy family? Not at all. You take responsibility. What are my part in it? Instead of blaming others. How come no one is doing that? Everybody is wrong. How about you do that? taking responsibility. Sometimes I ask the young people who come up here to do song leading. I want them to learn how to take responsibilities. Can you open the door at the back? Learn to take responsibility today. It won't happen when you get married. Learn it today. Be a man in the Bible. Take responsibility. Something go wrong, you are not going, whose fault is it? Who did this? But what should be done? How can I help? How can I change? Be the positive influence. Be the positive help instead of negative. Oh, he's no good. The world is no good. The society is no good. My friends are no good. Everybody has problem. Everyone is no good. God is no good. We don't take responsibility. Then you will live a very unhappy life because you will realize everyone is their problem. It's your problem. They affect you. You are a victim. Oh, I can't do anything. And then you feel very depressed. I can't solve the problem. And there seems to be no hope because others will not change. How about you? Will you change? He's always like that. He's always bad-tempered. They are not changing. How about you? Taking responsibility. How can I be changed? How can I be a better person to help, to encourage? Are you able to learn? Are you able to serve? Or are you a lazy person not doing anything? You think, oh, if I got married, my husband will serve me. He will sacrifice everything for me. He said, I'm the princess. Oh, he loves me. And then you do nothing. Lying there all day, growing in size, because you're not moving at all. Are you passionate? Oh, I love that. Or are you indifferent? Do you live a purposeful life? Or do you have nothing in your mind? Okay. Come to read the Bible. Okay. No passion. No purpose. And you blame others for that. Think about your life. Is your life having a direction? Yes, I'm disciples of Christ. After my baptism, and my whole life is devoted for Him. I want to serve Him. That's why I learn from the Bible. Because I want to serve Him. I want to know Him. I discipline myself. That's why I ask the young people, have you read the Bible this week? Tell me where you are. I'm helping them, trying to help them to become a self-disciplined person. Instead of being lazy, you should have a purpose. Or I don't care. If you don't tell me to do things, I won't do anything. Are you like that? Are you humble? Can you be changed? Or are you stubborn? When you grow old, easily, you become more and more stubborn. Unfortunately, I realize I am. I always do it this way. I make some improvement, the easy task, I can change, I do. But there are some challenges which is so hard. So I don't want to change. I can't do that. I can't. And you say, I can't. When I ask you to come out, pray. I can't. Are you willing to change? Humble means, yeah, I'm learning. I make mistakes. So if I ask you to lead a song or do something, pray. If you are a proud person, you don't want to change. You don't want to learn. But if you are humble enough, yes, let me learn. When I teach driving, my students, they pay me to learn. They want to learn so that I can teach them driving. No one sit there and start the engine, press the brake, no, I won't do it. Then you can't learn driving. You must listen and then you can learn to change. If you are not, you don't have the ability to learn, sorry, your life stops there. Emotionally stable, strong and consistent. You are not easily affected. Oh, my brother who baptized with me, he's no longer here. He moved away. I seem to be lonely. Oh, then you got weak. Inconsistent. One day you read Bible, another day you stop. One day you come to the meeting, next day you don't feel like it. You are living according to your emotion, not according to your goal. Okay, you don't have a strong goal. So, let's come back to here. How do I identify the other half? How can I find? How can I choose? Unfortunately, this world trying to impress us with charm, with beauty. When you look at the magazine, they always show you beautiful dresses, beautiful girls, handsome men. You can hardly see old people, their faces won't come on the cover. Okay? So people are charmed as a rainbow. But lovely woman, lovely man, as a ring of gold in a swine's knot. Just like imagine there's a pig, but there's a gold ring on his knot. Oh, the beauty of the ring. Forgetting about the pig behind the ring. When we choose, if we choose by sight, such a beautiful girl without thinking about the character. Remember how Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac? He looks for the girl. What, the first girl that comes in through the door will be my wife? No, not like that. The one who can serve and water. Let the camel drink. Get water for 10 camels. She must be strong, Rebecca. She must be very hospitable to care about people. She watered the camel without thinking, I can be a wife. No, she's out of his kindness, he offered to serve. So when we look for a spouse, try to look something deeper, the character of that person. Not his how she relates with you, but how she relates with her family, with her friends. How is her relationship with God? If she or he doesn't love God, why would she love you? If he can't love someone who died on the cross for him, why would he like you? Your beauty will fade one day. As if in Proverbs, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. He will pass away. I was such a handsome man, but now look at me. Old man, white hair, wrinkles, pass away. Charm is deceitful. So when we think about looking for other half, is she beautiful? If you tell your friend, I got a boyfriend, I got a girlfriend, they say, is he handsome? Is she beautiful? That's the part people think about. Is she hardworking? We won't talk about the character, we think about the face. Is she charming, man? Prince Charming, we want charm. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Someone who fears the Lord is the godly character. Give her of the fruit of the lands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So she works and God will praise her. So when you look for a mate, someone that loves God and can serve God together with you.
So pray to God. He will purify your soul, your mind, not just focusing on something passing away. Yes, it's nothing wrong to find someone attractive, but look further than that. How about the character? How about that person? Is he mature? Can he be trustworthy? So he will reveal his will in his time. Okay, so this is, instead of choosing, God will reveal to you if you seek him. So wait at this stage, high school, focus on developing your body and your soul. Developing your godly character. Okay, godly character will bring out a godly person. And a godly person will bring out a godly marriage that can glorify God. Not just any woman will do. A godly character, godly person, godly marriage that glorify God. Learn to come before God, learn to listen to him. He will reveal to you one day. If you never pray, start praying now. So this is my message. I hope you will find this helpful to you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that you bless our young people and let them grow in the knowledge of you and let them develop a godly character. Make them become godly person and let the marriage be a godly marriage that can glorify you. Reveal to us in your time. Let us be patient and learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.